Okay. We'll see you in a couple of hours. Well, good evening. Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. Of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us Melody Cederstrom from Discount Gold and Silver. And we're going to be talking about what's happening financially in the world. And, you know, some very exciting things are happening. And while our attention is focused on the tragic events unfolding overseas in Iraq and in the Middle East, the fact that we may very well soon be going to war with Iran, either the United States or Israel is going to launch a preemptive nuclear strike on Iran because of their development of their nuclear weapons. Of course, we're still worried about Iran having nuclear weapons. We're not worried about China having nuclear weapons, and they've threatened to nuke our countries. We're not worried about North Korea having nuclear weapons. It's just on the 60 Minutes yesterday, the general in charge talked about them possibly nuclear cities. But we're really worried about Iran may develop some nuclear weapons over there. Ladies and gentlemen, this is all part of a long-range plan to plunge America into an expanded war in the Middle East, so we'll never get our troops out of there. And so there will be retaliation on the United States, because there is a master plan. And if you haven't read my newsletters, you need to get them. And we'll be sending out our latest newsletter, The Wrong War. But let's get to what's happening here in America financially. Hi, Melody. How are you doing this evening?
Good evening. I'm just fine. Thank you very much.
Well, of course, for those of us who've been watching the gold and silver market, I've been watching it for the better part of 40 years now. And this is the second time in my lifetime when we've seen this tremendous surge in the price of precious metals. So what's your take on it? Are we at the beginning of a gold market, or is this just sort of a little blip along the way?
Well, I think we're absolutely in the beginning of the bull market was when we hit bottom at 253. And so, you know, we're still very young in the bull market. So we have quite a ways to go right now. I think what you're seeing are the professionals buying. There's been reports where you have China. They're looking to purchase gold. We've seen a lot of other foreign countries increase their gold holdings. You have Russia, you have Thailand. They've all increased their gold holdings, and they will probably do more so in the very near future. So you have a lot of professional buying here in the States, the funds, and as you mentioned earlier, we have the situation that is certainly heating up in Iran, and that has an impact on it. But as we go along in the gold market, along the bull run, we'll have items that come along that will thrust gold to increase. And so you'll have these catalysts along the way. But ultimately, it comes back down to the way this country has been handled, along with our overspending and our foolishness that this administration and the few before this one have put our country in this position.
In fact, Joseph Stiglitz, who is a Nobel Prize-winning economist, has said that the war in Iraq will cost us between $1 and $2 trillion. $1 and $2 trillion. Well, the Bush administration said it wasn't going to cost over a couple of hundred billion. But once again, they just didn't figure out what was going on. And of course, this is all aimed at bankrupting America and impoverishing our people. We'll be back in just a moment with Melody, and we're going to talk about what's really going on behind the scenes. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Melody Cederstrom. We're talking about what's happening economically and, of course, the continued program to impoverish our people, to transfer our factories to other countries, specifically to China. General Motors is already beginning to produce cars over there and sell them in India and in Asia. In late 2007, they will be bringing their General Motors produced cars in China to the United States. In the end of 2007, the Chinese-made cars put out by Chinese companies will be here in early 2007, which will really mark the death knell for the American auto industry. I'm sure Toyota and Honda will continue doing well, but certainly as far as the people who work in the automotive industry here in Ford, General Motors, Chrysler, Delphi, which of course has over 100,000 employees, they're all of course going to be losing their jobs as the center of industry shifts and manufacturing to China, to Malaysia, to India, and it's part of a long-range program. It's not happening by accident. It's really happening by intent, isn't it, Melody?
Absolutely. It has all been created by design. And you can go back many years, and those who are students of history, they can see the progression and to where we are today. And it is, I have customers who call me and they'll say, well, you know, GM is turning around and so forth. And it's like, no, they're not. They're not turning around. They might be getting tough with their talk, but that's all they're getting tough with. And they're in a situation, their goal is to do bankruptcy so they can move to China. And I don't think there's a possibility of a return.
No, I don't think so either. In
I fact, mean, we're past of any return.
But of course, not unless you reinstitute your tariffs, unless you begin to try to protect our industry, and that is not what the globalists want.
No, they're not going to do that.
And the leaders of both political parties have no loyalty to America. The people have to understand this. They have a loyalty to a dream, a new world order, a one world government, a new world religion. And this is as old as time itself. It's been around for 3,000 years, and those of you who take my newsletters will understand what this is about. You'll read the writings, not what I say, but what they say, how they tell you that this is a long-range plan. And isn't it wonderful that we'll soon be able to have, democracy, democracies all throughout the world in a commonwealth of nations. But, of course, with that comes the loss of our national sovereignty, the loss of our constitutional protection, the loss of our right to a trial by jury and habeas corpus. In fact, we'll soon have the same rights that they have right there in Mexico today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly our guest is Melody Cederstrom, and we're simply talking about what's happening as our industries are intentionally being forced overseas. They're making profits. I mean, a lot of our companies are making good profits, but they're not making it for manufacturing here. They're making it for manufacturing in other countries and then selling our products here in America. Well, you know, Melody, is certainly as you look at this, you must be talking to people, you know, a lot of people who are looking at what's happening to, certainly to commodities. They're certainly moving up, and how much of that is because, you know, of the increased demand throughout the world? How much is that because the dollar has really been falling this last few weeks, hasn't it?
We have seen a little bit of a correction in the dollar, And but gold has certainly taken has grown legs of its own. And again, we're back to the professional buying. The public, what we define as the public, are truly the people that don't understand what's going on and what's happening to them. Number one, I don't think they want to see. They don't want to see that they have to make changes and perhaps how their country has been sold out. They still want to believe in their private little world and their dreams, as you had mentioned, and they don't want to see the change in what's going on. They will become involved eventually. Those people will begin to buy gold when gold is at 800 and 850. But until then, we have professional buyers. We won't have a demand until gold gets to 850. Once it gets to 850, then it will be propelled to 1500 and higher from those people who always get in when it's way too late. We're still on the very bottom rung of the ladder. Gold is still cheap compared to where it's going to go. And until those people become involved, the world is buying gold except for Americans, except perhaps Canadians and Europeans. And you have your Asian countries, you have the ones I had mentioned, Russia. They're all buying gold. And it's only the dummies here in this country.
Well, the central banks are beginning to accumulate. Apparently, it's the Chinese central bank is accumulating, the Argentine central bank, the Russian central bank, and there are a couple of other countries that are really beginning to buy gold to back their currency. Why? Because we have a whole world that's on a fiat currency. In other words, there's nothing behind it other than their confidence in America. And more countries are beginning to lose confidence in America because of our insane policies in the Middle East. I mean, how could you do such a poor job as we are doing unintentionally? How could you, you know, go into a country that was stable, you know, maybe had a rotten guy in control as the dictator, but he was a man who'd been installed by the United States, funded by the United States all during the 1980s. And if you doubt that, you just give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you a fascinating article out of the Washington Post, When an Ally Becomes an Enemy, pointing out how we gave Saddam Hussein billions of dollars. We gave him the material to buy to build his chemical and nuclear weapons. We encouraged him to go into Kuwait in 1990. We did everything we could to build up this ruthless dictator. And now we've gone to war with them, but we've not only gone to war with them, we've created a state of total chaos in Iraq today, where there's 60% unemployment, there's no water, there's no electricity, you have a civil war going on, and it all came about because when America went in, instead of following the advice of the American generals, why Paul Bremer, who was sent over there by the establishment that controls both political parties, Paul Bremer disbanded the Iraqi military. He disbanded the Iraqi police force. He disbanded the Iraqi civil service. There were nothing there, no structure of government at all. And then we wonder why you have chaos. They created it intentionally. They knew what they were doing because it would have stability. How could we possibly have justified staying there? When you understand that, it all makes sense, you know. The trouble is most people of course, can't make any sense out of it. They shake their heads as if, we made mistake after mistake after mistake. Oh, shucks. We didn't make mistakes. These people are brilliant. They know exactly what they're doing. They just want the American people to know. But while our attention is focused on the tragedy over in Iraq, why we're losing our freedom here at home. And, of course, economic freedom is the key to that. And, you know, one of the things that we have a totally fiat currency system. There is nothing behind our currency. The whole world is on this system. And some countries are beginning to say, hey, we want to look after ourselves. And, you know, as more and more countries begin looking after themselves and begin moving towards a stable back currency that cannot be inflated here in America, why we can keep $1 trillion as we have this last year just by bank entries. And we give that worthless paper to countries throughout the world, and as long as they accept it, we're in great shape, and we can buy all of these wonderful things so cheaply. But what happens when they lose faith in America, and they suddenly realize that we no longer have the manufacturing base to provide the things they want? They can get the things they want from China. So what are they going to get from America other than more useless paper? I think we're in for real problems economically throughout the world, don't you, Melody?
I do believe we're going to have a financial collapse, and I really, truly believe the only way that you can protect yourself from being involved in that collapse by protecting your purchasing power is by owning gold.
Yeah, and I agree with you totally. And I'm not a financial advisor, neither is Melody, although she does sell gold and silver. But I want you to know that Melody does help Radio Liberty stay on the air and do the broadcast. But I really sincerely believe, having been at this for well over 40 years, that we are seeing the greatest financial calamity that our nation has ever faced, and it's coming in the next couple of years. And people are going to have to begin trying to protect themselves. They're going to have to look after themselves, because if you think that the pension funds you're getting from the state or from the federal government are going to be stable, they're really not. If you think that this pensions you're going to be getting from your former employer are safe, why, you know, a lot of these are going right down the tubes, and then they're going to be turned over to the federal government. And they say, well, the federal government's got a lot of money. And the truth of the matter is, federal government doesn't have any money. Only money it has is what it takes from us by taxes, what it can produce by simply printing useless money or borrow from other countries. And we're just about borrowed all we can, haven't we?
Yes, we have. And this year you mentioned the government and their pension funds, the Governmental Accounting Standards Board. They set the rules for the public sector. They are changing their regulations, and from now on, state and local governments will have to reveal their pension liabilities, and they could be underfunded by over $1 trillion. So again, the pension fund system is just almost a joke. They don't have to report. I mean, they can just lie about what they report.
Well, I think it's so interesting what they've done. The government employees have formed unions. The unions that have collected money from the employees, and then they've got putting it into the political process. They elect the politicians who give them all these wonderful benefits, like they did down in San Diego, where you could retire at 50 with full pay for the police or from the fire department or from other. And then, of course, you go out and get another job, and then you got a full salary from San Diego. The only trouble was there wasn't any money to fund it. And now, of course, San Diego is bankrupt. The county is bankrupt. I mean, they all have obligations, I think, $1.4, I've forgotten. Anyway, $140 billion or something, the exact figure escapes me. But, you know, they have this massive obligation and no way possibly to pay it. And then what happens to all these people who are on the pension and retired, and they've got another 20 years before, 15 years before they're eligible for Social Security, and suddenly there's not going to be any money there to pay it. So then what happens? And, of course, I think an awful lot of these people deserve to lose their pension because they were trying to get it off the backs of the taxpayers. And really, I think this is not only in San Diego. I think it's all across America. There is no way the federal government's going to have money 20 years from now to pay their what they promised in Social Security, what they promised in Medicare. And already, of course, they got this new Medicare drug plan. You know, nothing but organized confusion, and that's going to cost another $1 trillion over a 10-year period. Money we just don't have.
I think there's a big disconnect. You know, we see these, you know, for so many years we saw millions, and then it was increased to billions, and now we're in trillions. And I realize, I believe the majority of the public out there, they just can't relate. They can't relate to billions and trillions, and they don't realize that it's going to come home to roost. And they're not going to get their pension funds. Wall Street will not allow people to walk away with their money. Wall Street has basically, in my opinion, has funded this, for lack of a better word, New World Order for the situation, for the agenda. Wall Street has financed it. That's where they've received money to do it. And people are not—they're not going to allow people to walk away with their pension plans. They're not going to walk away with their investments in Wall Street. And we have baby boomers that are going to be retiring beginning next year, and they're not going to get the retirement funds. And they're going to have a rude awakening. And in the meantime, they have overbought. We haven't even touched on the real estate market, but they've overbought in the real estate market. They're not going to have any equity in their homes. And the number of problems, I can't believe how the public out there can just be so caught up in this illusion and this, I mean, where there's just no reality. What is going on?
There is an illusion. Everything is an illusion. And right now, of course, they're on one hand, they're raising the interest rates. They want to raise the interest rates to control inflation. But on the other hand, they're massively increasing the amount of money, which is what you do if you're trying to create inflation. So on one hand, they're fighting inflation. On the other hand, they're increasing it. They've increased the M3 something like $1 trillion this last year. And this comes from Bob Chapman's international forecaster, which I know that Melody reads and I read regularly. Bob's got a lot of fascinating material in there. America is really on the edge of something major. And while our attention is focused on the tragic events happening overseas, as American boys are being killed and the Iraqis are being killed, of course, we are facing financial Armageddon here in America and the loss of our freedom. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and do you read Bob Chapman's newspaper, Forecaster, on a regular basis, Melody?
Well, it's so many pages. Whenever I get a chance, I do, yes. Usually I will recap it in the beginning of the week because I get it weekly. And it's a fascinating newsletter, and everyone should get a complimentary copy to it and also subscribe to it because I always say his newsletter eliminates any of the fluff that you get from so many other newsletters. So many newsletters are trying to sell something where his is strictly news. So if the listeners out there have an opportunity to get a copy of his newsletter, please do so.
In fact, I read it on a regular basis, and I was just reading it this evening in preparatory to coming on and simply talking about what's happening. I mean, the price of commodities is just going through the roof. I mean, copper and zinc and the basic metals are going up. Platinum has gone up dramatically. Palladium has gone up. Both gold and silver have gone up dramatically. And yet, of course, the major media is not talking about this. Oh, occasionally they may give you a gold quotation, but I'll tell you, when you are seeing this on the media every evening, then you know we're at the top of the market. They simply play the public. They don't tell them when something is happening. They tell them when it's already happened, and then, of course, they rush in thinking they're going to make a killing, and the public is usually wrong, and this is the great tragedy, and that's one advantage to reading the things that that people like Bob Chapman put out, because it's the information you're not going to get elsewhere. And when you realize that our government is massively increasing the amount of money, you can't do this indefinitely. Over the last 6 months, they've increased the amount of money, in circulation. I think probably the M3 figure, which is the total money, 10%. I mean, they tell us, oh, inflation's only, well, it's only about 2% if you take out health care and you take out housing and you take out energy and you take out food. Why, there's no inflation. Well, that's because we're getting everything cheap from China. Of course, we don't have any inflation. If you juggle the figures, but the old adage that figures don't lie, but liars can figure, and they do not want the American people to realize that inflation is simply a means of stealing the savings of people who have their money into some sort of fixed assets like money. And when I speak of money, I'm talking about CDs, I'm talking about bonds, I'm thinking about anything tied to a currency that is in, I believe, is going to be in rapid decline one of these days, not too long from now. Well, it's not going to happen tomorrow, but it's just in the process of gradually going down. And I think that the housing market is beginning to implode. With that begins to happen, I think that the stock market is going to begin to fall. And Bob Chapman is talking about a stock market somewhere between $4,000 and $6,000 here within a couple of years. And that's going to mean a lot of people who are looking, of course, to their pension funds. Their pensions are invested in what? They're invested in the stock market. And when the stock market begins to go down, these people, of course, are going to lose their pensions, and of course they may turn them over to the government. If they do, they'll be lucky to get 30 or 40 cents on the dollar. People have got to start planning now, and I do know that at least some of our listeners have been making plans, and some of them have called me, and very, very grateful because they've had an opportunity to position themselves for the difficult times that lie ahead. And our plea to you is begin thinking about what's happening. Begin making your plans. I mean, you cannot look to the government. You cannot necessarily look to your employer. You cannot look to your government or state or municipal pension. You're going to have to look for yourself and look after yourself, because difficult times do lie right ahead. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Melody Cederstrom. And Melody, how long have you been in the gold and silver business, and how did you happen to get into it?
Well, it was a family member that got me into the business, and Discount Gold and Silver, we're in our 12th corporate year, and I've been doing it for about a year or so, longer than that, so about 12 corporate years with Discount Gold and Silver Trading. And it's interesting because in the beginning it was also a learning process, as we saw, you know, things begin in the early 90s, as we saw the different administrations and the, you know, with the changing of the, you know, all the trade laws and so forth. And things have just speeded up as far as the, just everything around us. I mean, you know, to me, sometimes it gets so overwhelming as far as everything. I mean, we've been talking for about 25 minutes, and we've touched on problems that are so severe that will affect each and every one of us. And it is so important to make sure that you prepare. And there's many different ways in which you can prepare, but ultimately you need to prepare financially. And gold has always been a monetary metal, and it will always protect your purchasing power. And there's many different types of gold that you can become involved in, and it's very much up to the individual and his investment objective as far as what your portfolio should consist of.
All right, well, what should a portfolio consist of? What should people be into? I mean, you go to the average, you know, financial planner, they're going to tell you, you want to be in bonds for security, and then you want to be in the stock market. You know, so you want to diversify, and I believe you should diversify, but I'm not sure you want to be in bonds at this time. I'm not sure you want to be in the stock market at this time. So if people were to come to you and say, what should I be doing, Melody, what would you tell them?
Well, it depends on if they're a gambler or not. I mean, if you want to be in stocks, you're a gambler. I tell a lot of my customers, now's the time to buy gold and to sit. Investments will be going through different stages. There's going to be other investments that come along as we change and we adapt to what is brought to us. And so along the way, we can change. We might want to sell out our gold. We might buy something else. But we have to wait until those times arrive.
Okay, because I think my wife just said that maybe you were your mouth was just a little too close to the microphone or to the telephone. So just back off just a little bit.
All right.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyway, you were saying that certainly people are going to have to be prepared to alter their investment plans, but right now, what should they be doing? In other words, if someone came to you right now and said, Melody, what should I be doing in preparation for the difficult times that I agree with you, we're in for some difficult times?
They need to be buying gold and silver assets. They should be 100% vested. Assets, gold and silver assets, if you're a little bit of a gambler and you want to buy some mining stocks, I believe that's okay. But you're taking a risk, because that's what stocks are. If you want to be safe and you want to protect your purchasing power, you need to go into gold and silver coins. That carries the most profit potential with the least amount of risk. Gold will buy you the same thing today as it has 100 years ago. That's how it protects your purchasing power. And even gold and silver is the only investment out there. You could dabble in palladium. You might see palladium rise maybe to, you know, it's hanging around the $300 mark. You might see palladium go to $500. It's a nice little investment if you want to diversify. But even if you go into the gold and silver, you need to diversify in that. You can diversify in precious metals. And again, it comes down to the individual. As far as your investment objectives, the basics are the same, but I won't advise someone who's looking to invest $100,000 or more the same advice that someone's looking to invest $5,000. I do not sell one coin fits all type portfolios. I don't take the coin that has the greatest amount of commission and sell it to everybody. And that's where we differ here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading.
All right, fine. And I believe that diversity is really the thing. It's there's an old thing in real estate. The key to investing in real estate is location, location, location. Well, I think that if you're, of course, thinking about getting into gold and silver, diversify, diversify, diversify. But, of course, you need something that has intrinsic value, that has had intrinsic value for many years. And the more things you're in, why, the better off you are, so that you're not trapped into one situation, because we don't know what's going to happen out there. The only thing we do know is we are living in very uncertain times. And while our attention is focused on what's going on in Iraq, why, the stability of our nation, the freedom we've enjoyed, is disappearing here at home. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this evening is Melody Cederstrom, and we're talking basically about really what's going on in the financial markets today, because I think this is really so important, and I know from the people that we've talked to through the years, and we've certainly pointed people towards preparing for the difficult times, and I know that some of the people here, you know, in California have sold their homes. And they've moved to other areas, and we have one friend who sold their home not too far from ours and moved up to the Washington area, bought a couple of duplexes and a couple of homes for what they got from their house here, because housing is so much cheaper there. And where we live is just ridiculously expensive, and if I was smart, I would have done the same thing. But I like my home. I intend to live here the rest of my life, and so I did not sell my home. We're going to stick here because, of course, we're all set to do the radio, and I don't want to give that up just for just to make a profit. But I do think that people must begin at the present time to begin making plans for difficult financial time. So our guest, of course, Melody Cederstrom, we're talking about what people can do. And I right now, of course, I really want to wait until we bring all of our stations back on and let Melody, of course, talk a little bit more about her advice to people. But right now, Melody, what do you think about silver as an investment? Does that have a good potential or not?
I think silver has a great potential, but people have to realize that central banks are not buying silver, they're buying gold. And I think any investment, and particularly in the precious metals, is good if you understand what it does and how it performs. Silver is not rarer than gold. It has its place, it has its purpose, and it's a great investment. I tell my clients, if you don't have any silver, buy some. But silver is more affordable at $9 and $11 and $15 than gold is at $700 and $800. Buy your gold now. Add silver along the way. Because usually, I mean, you can always buy silver. So right now I think it's important to get your gold. That will protect your purchasing power. Diversify yourself in gold products and then add other precious metals to diversify. So yes, silver can be a great investment. And it upsets me so when I see people spend large sums of money into silver and they have no gold. Now, to me, that is not a good investment or good advice. So just make sure that you have a balanced portfolio. And that's where you need to start. You need to start basic.
Hold that thought right there, Melody. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we have Tony calling from Washington. But before we get to Tony, I do, and of course, we will open up our lines at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. But Melody, how can people get in touch with you? Do you have a website? Do you have a telephone number they can call?
Yes, I do. The telephone number is 1-800-375-4188 Or if they'd like to visit the website, they can go to Discount Gold and Silver Trading, and the word "and" is spelled out, and that is .net. Discount Gold and Silver Trading .net.
And give that telephone number one more time.
1-800-375-4188.
All right. See, I got it wrong. I had 1-4, so it's 4-1-8-8.
4-1-8-8.
Okay, fine. Well, let's go to Tony, who's calling in from Washington. Hi, Tony. How you doing?
Oh, pretty good, Dr. Stan.
Oh, in fact, that's a familiar voice. From used to be from Santa Cruz. How you doing? How do you like Washington?
It's really similar to California in a lot of ways. Like, most of the people up here are from California.
Well, it's good to hear from you. Give my best to Janice.
Yeah, well, actually, we're right... we're about a half a mile from a place called Liberty Lake.
Okay.
And we were kidding around that you ought to move up to Liberty Lake.
Okay.
Then you could be Radio Liberty from Liberty Lake.
Right.
But I'm not too crazy about the winter, but it's not that bad. It's been like in the 30s and 30s and 40s here lately.
It's been a little cool here, too, so it's not that bad. Have you been getting a lot of rain up there?
Maybe 4 days.
All right, fine, because we, of course, they think Washington, but I'm sure that's the western part of Washington that's getting washed away.
Yeah, well, I'm only about 2 miles from Idaho.
Okay, fine. Well, do you have a question or comment for our guest this evening?
Well, you know, you were just talking about me here a second ago, so I had
okay,
to call
fine.
Up, you know, about how I sold my house in Santa Cruz, and, you know, real estate up here, it's really a good place for baby boomers. I mean, it's like you can, it's still really reasonable, you know, compared to California. But when we moved, one of my big regrets is that I bought a lot of silver back in the early 90s, when it was around $4 an ounce. And, well, I guess since I sold it now, I guess I can tell you, I had almost a ton of silver.
Uh-oh.
And if you want to move, having a ton of silver can be quite... well, it's not real easy to do. That's why I ended up selling it around $850. And I sold it at $770, but I mean I still did pretty good on it. But I mean I wish I hadn't sold it. And I was wondering, I mean just from my experience, if your guest might just want to talk about the weight issues.
All right, that's a significant issue. Do you have any thoughts at all? Tony, of course, moved from here up to Washington, and he had a lot of silver, but of course it was just so heavy for him.
Well, you're absolutely right, Tony. It's very heavy. And back in 04, early 04, when we saw silver go up over $8 for the first time in a long time, we had a lot of customers sell their silver. And almost everyone said, I will never buy silver again because of the weight issue. Silver is not something that you can pack up in your vehicle and take off like you can gold. So it is an important issue. And and if you sell it, you have to ship it also. We had a gentleman who sold back 20, 30 bags of silver, and they certainly get their exercise in taking it down to the post office and shipping it registered and insured. So,
30 bags is right around a ton.
Right.
And if you use a mover, they will not insure it, even if you want to pay extra. That's another thing that I found out.
Well, we get older and wiser, Tony. At least we get older.
Well, I'm glad I did hang on to a few thousand ounces.
Okay.
So, I mean, I mean, I tell you, if right now, I mean, I've been studying this since the... Well, about 1993, when silver kind of bottomed around 350, and you know, I followed this forever. And I tell you, if this isn't it, I don't know when it is.
Well, I think we're in for a great run. But anyway, anything else you want to say, Tony, before we let you go?
No, but I mean, the markets were closed today. Silver was up. I mean, they still traded gold and silver. The gold's up $5 today.
Yeah, I think
this is looking like 1979 all over again.
It's like deja vu all over again, isn't it?
Well, we talk about you all the time, Dr. Stan. I tell everybody around here, listen to Radio Liberty. A lot of people up here listen to you. You're on a Spokane station up here. I noticed on Saturday.
Right.
You know, I really like to see if we could maybe do something in the future where I could maybe like almost have like a group up here, like a Radio Liberty group in the area, because there's a lot of people. I mean, people up here are spiritually alive. This is not like Santa Cruz.
I know.
And it's a really nice place to live up here.
I'm glad. And I give my best to your wife.
Oh, I will.
Good night. Okay. Bye-bye. Bye. Well, let's go to Bart, who's calling from Carmel. Hi, Bart. How are you doing?
Oh, fine, sir. Thank you very much.
Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I do. I'm still sitting here trying to get my imagination around what a ton of silver must look like. I don't have that problem myself, unfortunately. Melody, on a scale of 1 to 10, could you please rate the importance of an event that's coming up on March 20th? As you probably know, on March 20th will be the grand opening of Iran's very own central bank, in which they will do their oil transactions all in euros. Some people are saying that this will have a very adverse effect on an already weak dollar. What's your take on it?
Absolutely. That is, if we allow them to get to March 20th, with things are heating up. We have all the European countries and that are meeting to apply sanctions to Iran because of their nuclear capabilities.
Going through the formalities.
And we're trying to give the idea that, you know, we've given them every chance in the world. We don't want them to launch a nuclear attack on them. Why, shucks, we wouldn't want to do something like that. But if they're going to endanger the whole world because they want to enrich their uranium, why, of course, we're just going to have to do what's responsible. We're going to have to go in and kill them.
It's all theater, isn't it, Stan?
It's all theater, and it's all showbiz. And, of course, I think one of the greatest actors is the president of Iran, who is doing everything wrong. I mean, here's a guy who gets up and says, Israel should be wiped off the face of the world. We ought to move Israel to Europe. There was no Holocaust. He refuses to let Russia, you know, enrich the uranium. He refuses to negotiate. He defies the entire world. If he isn't working for the Brotherhood of Darkness and trying to promote World War III, why he'll diddle if somebody comes along.
Well, did you hear about the green mist issue, Stan? This is really starting to get a little bit far out now, but it's worth mentioning because apparently during a speech that the president of Iran was given to the United Nations, he was discussing some important issues, and later on he was talking about how he was going to be the president when Iran ushers in the new Iranian Messiah, which, of course, will not be the real deal. But during this speech at the UN, apparently he said that I was surrounded by a green fog. And the thing that makes it noteworthy, apparently, this is hard to verify, that some people in the audience that were unrelated to him, not with his people, also claimed to have seen this green mist. Now, this is very, very far out, but it's interesting and it's worth noting. After all, we are in a time of supernatural events. Lucifer is just having a field day on this planet. And what do you think about that?
Do you have any thoughts, Melody?
Not on that one, I don't.
And I really don't either, other than the fact that there was an unsuccessful attempt on the life of the president of Iran about 2 weeks ago, not reported in the American media. They actually, somebody did away with the head of the Iranian military within the last week. His plane just had an accident and just exploded and went down. I think that the World War III has already begun. They just haven't told the American people.
Yeah.
Okay, but I don't know what to make out of the green mist.
Buy gold, everybody. It's the way to go.
Well, but remember, of course, our real security is in the Lord.
Absolutely.
We do everything we should do on our own.
Amen.
But, of course, you have to understand behind everything that's going on are these spiritual forces you allude to. But I don't know where the green mist fits into that.
Yes,
God bless, Bart.
God bless you.
Okay, let's go to Ray calling from Santa Cruz. And incidentally, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the central coast of California at 464-8295. Ray, did you have any thoughts for us this evening?
Yeah, well, I had just a question about gold for Melody. I have quite a large collection of Liberty gold dollars, you know, coins. And I was wondering whether I should hang on to them or whether I should sell them.
All right, that's it. Why would you want to sell them?
Well,
all right, what are your thoughts? What would you tell Ray if he were to call you tomorrow, Melody?
Well, first I'd ask him what type of Liberty gold dollars. I mean, you'd have to be a little more specific on what type of gold you have.
Okay, it's
Oh, are they the $20 gold pieces or what?
They're the dollar gold coins.
Oh, are they
great? Are they graded or?
They're dated 2000.
Oh, you're talking. These are the ones that recently minted.
Yeah, they were.
All right, so they're recently minted by the United States Mint, and probably in the year 2000. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and so, well, I won't ask you how many, but you have maybe 100 of them, something like that.
Well, close to.
Okay, fine. He's got close to 100 of those, and so what would you tell him? How would you approach it if he was to call you? What are the key questions you'd ask him?
Well. The key question is, you know, again, to be a little more specific on the type of gold, because you have the gold eagles, but they don't do a dollar gold. So, again, I have to have them get a little more specific.
Yeah.
I'm not a believer in trading gold. Mm-hmm. I don't churn my customers. I don't call them to trade something for something else unless it is in their best interest.
Mm-hmm.
And each portfolio is different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Again, I'd have to talk to you, find out what you have and what your investment objectives are in order to advise you.
Mm-hmm.
If you have 100 of them.
Well, close to it, yeah. But, see, but I also have a large collection of silver quarters, you know, from, you know, and the dimes from the 1930s and, you know, 40s and stuff like that. I'm wondering about those.
Chuck, Ray, if you sold them, what would you put the money into?
Well, there's a number of things I'd like to get.
Why don't you sit tight? Because I think that I think Melody's right. You don't want to be churning. I mean, every time you sell something, you're going to lose a certain percentage. But the thing is that right now, I believe we are on the edge of the greatest, you know, gold and silver rise you've ever seen. And we're talking about gold going up to $3,000, maybe $5,000 an ounce. We're talking silver going to $50 or $100 an ounce. Why would you want to? Why would you want to do anything? Sit tight. Don't be impatient. All good things come to those who wait.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Okay, thanks very much.
Okay, you have any thoughts before we go to our next caller there?
I heard Al Gore on the radio today, and he was condemning President Bush, not directly, but he's saying that any president that, he was talking about the surveillance, you know, on American citizens. He said it was against the law and that there should be a committee or some kind of inquiry or...
There really should be. The president, of course, is using the so-called war on terror, phony war on terror, because it was really a war on terror.
Phony.
We would have sealed our borders. There's really those terrible terrorist threats. We would have had
at least
one major attack in America in the last 4 years. It's all perception. They're using the fear of terrorism to take away our freedom. And while our boys fight for freedom overseas, we're losing it here in America. I hate to say that I agree with Al Gore, but remember, it's all play acting.
Yeah.
They all come from the same club.
Yeah, they're all from the same source.
Okay,
yeah.
God bless you, Ray.
Thanks, bye.
Okay, let's go to Chuck, who's calling from Monterey. Hi, Chuck. How are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Doing fine. Do you have a question for our guest?
Well, actually, not for your guest, but actually in reference to what that caller was just talking about. If we don't have anything to hide, then why wouldn't we want someone listening in on our conversations? I mean, if I don't mind anyone listening in on my phone conversation.
All right, let's imagine, of course, you'd been targeted. Maybe you were calling Radio Liberty, and you were then considered to be a subversive. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts everybody. We're headed towards a dictatorship. There really are evil and wicked people. And you talk to the people who lived in the Soviet Union and lived in constant fear that in the middle of the night, for no reason at all, whether they were innocent or guilty, they simply disappeared and were never heard from again. Could that happen in America? Well, why shouldn't it happen here? This nation is turned against God. We have our freedom because we were a religious people. And because we are no longer righteous and religious people, I believe that God is withdrawing his support from us. I think you should be very frightened because absolute power corrupts absolutely everyone. And there really are people in America who are backing dictatorships throughout the world. And, of course, this is an intergenerational situation. They back the communists in Russia. They back the communists in China. Do you really want to give somebody power over your life? Or maybe you don't think freedom's that important.
Actually, I mean, God already has power over our life, so if our life's an open book, which it should be as Christians, then what do I have nothing to fear for someone listening in on my phone conversation.
I think you have a great deal to fear. What do you think, Melody? Do you think that we should just say, well, because I have nothing to fear, that God is going to look after me? But why didn't he look after the Christians in Russia under communism? Why didn't he look after the Christians in Cuba under
That's
communism?
Not.
Or why didn't he look after the Christians in China, where they, of course, slaughtered between at least 100 million people? Most
That's
of
not the issue. It's the people who are breaking American laws that are who they're looking for and looking in to listen in on.
Well, but are you sure of
I'm
that?
Not.
Are you sure they're not simply going after people who are enemies of the administration?
I think it's irresponsible Christian broadcasting to assume the things that you go off and say about the World Trade Center, where they were detonated and imploded intentionally by the powers that be. I think that's irresponsible.
Could you tell me,
think that the people in our government, who I would consider a lot of people who are in the FBI and in the high powers of state, are people who serve in the military, such as I serve currently, and to say that they're intentionally killing American citizens to start some radical war against Islam, I think that's irresponsible Christian reporting.
Well, could I ask you a simple question? How do you explain Building 7 coming down? Building 7, of course, came down at 5 o'clock that evening, and, of course, it wasn't hit by anything at all. How do you explain Building 7 coming down?
Sir, you didn't only say Building 7. You said
I didn't.
The towers.
No, I did not. I talked Building 7, and I'm simply asking you, how did Building 7 come down? Let's not talk about the Twin Towers. Let's talk about Building 7. Chuck, how did Building 7 come down?
Sir, are you a civil engineer?
I'm not a civil engineer, but I will
tell you
that I know civil engineers who've seen the pictures. Have you seen the pictures of Building 7 coming down?
Sir, I haven't seen the pictures of Building 7 coming down, nor do I care about Building 7
coming down.
Okay, fine. What I care about is the president we currently has done more against abortion and than any previous president. So
I see. Well, thank you, Chuck. I pretty appreciate your remarks.
That's the issue that matters.
I see. Fine. How many... why is Roe versus Wade still there after he's been there? He could stop it tomorrow by an executive order. Thanks so much for calling. Well, Melody, we certainly got off the track there. But
you know, Dr. Stana, the conditioning. This is how the public out there has been conditioned to believe that if you don't have anything to hide, that it's okay for people to listen in on your conversation. But the people that are listening are the ones that are breaking the laws, because it is the foundation of this country. The freedoms and the liberties that we've had from day one of this country, they're the ones that are breaking the laws.
That's right. Because you see, the whole idea that our president has done more to oppose abortion than any other president. Well, how many lives has he saved? What did he do about partial birth abortion? Why, he signed the legislation, and then the Supreme Court held it. It was what had been done was unconstitutional. Now, what he should have said was, have the Congress pass the law and put a rider on those so the courts can't intervene. But he didn't do that. He took money from, say, one international organization that was, against abortion, and he gave it to another international organization that did favor abortion. So, basically, it's all smoke and mirrors. They've created the impression that this administration is pro-life. But I would simply ask you, look and see what's happened. Certainly, with the Republicans in control of the House and the Republicans in control of the Senate, they could have passed legislation outlawing Roe versus Wade and saying that the Supreme Court cannot intervene. Why didn't the president take the leadership in that? Well, I'll tell you, because I don't believe he is pro-life. His wife is not pro-life. His mother is not pro-life. His father was not pro-life until he ran for the vice presidency as a Republican. And it's all a matter of perception. And what we need to do is get people to understand we're constantly being manipulated by the media. And I would simply ask, how many children's lives, aborted children's lives, have we saved now that we have the Republicans in power? They claim to be pro-life, but look and see what they've done. They could pass legislation tomorrow and put a rider on it that says the Supreme Court can't intervene, and they refuse to do it. So if they're really pro-life, why haven't they done what really needed to be done? And why are we backing, of course, communist China that has a one-child policy and, of course, is forcing women to abort it? And we're pouring countless billions of dollars in there. Why are we doing that if our administration is really pro-life? Melody, what are your parting thoughts for our listeners? I don't want to get off on my high horse. What are your parting thoughts for our listeners?
Well, I think what you were saying is very important and needs to be said. And my parting comment is the listeners need to protect their purchasing power for all the reasons.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Melody Cederstrom. And Melody was just saying that she thinks people should protect their purchasing power. And just get your final thought out there, and then you'll get your telephone number out one more time.
My final thought is I don't believe we're going to see any decreases in gold. I think we'll see it stay steady. It's going to increase. It still has a long way to go. It's cheap. When we look at the prices and the limits to where it will go. And so now's the time to do it, be diversified, and protect your investments, protect your purchasing power. And it's been a long day here, Discount Gold and Silver.
Okay, fine. Why don't you get your telephone number off one more time?
1-800-375-4188. The listeners, you know, I'm on the East Coast, so it's midnight here on the East Coast.
All right, fine. Well, we've still got another hour to go. Good night. And again, that's discountgoldandsilver.net. That's discountgoldandsilver.net. God bless you, Melody. We'll talk to you later this month.
God bless you, too.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
All right, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and that was Melody Cederstrom. And of course, I think that what we're trying to do is get people to understand we're in difficult times. And, of course, the reason that we're in difficult times is God has turned its back, this nation has turned its back on God. And there are powerful spiritual forces, actually satanic forces, that are at work within our society today. And, of course, the tragedy is that the church is not taking the position of leadership that it should. We are preaching a false gospel. Most ministers will not tell you that God is not only a God of love, He is also a God of justice and judgment and of vengeance. And certainly, if God were only a God of love, it would be the ultimate triumph of evil. If there is no punishment for sin, then, of course, why our Savior came to earth for absolutely nothing. And Jesus died on the cross, but it has no meaning if there is no punishment for sin. Jesus Christ came to earth and paid the ultimate price for sinners like you and I. But you must understand that the message that's being taught today is not that message at all. In fact, we very seldom talk about hell. We very seldom talk about eternal punishment. And we very, very seldom talk about Satan and the satanic and secret societies that have been working for 6,000 years to bring about a new world order and a new world religion. And without an understanding of that, nothing really going on in the world today makes any sense. And so we would simply encourage you to go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com. You can pull down our newsletters there on the occult hierarchy. Read them. You don't expect you to accept everything I say, but I want you to check our sources of reference. I want you to stop and think. Is it possible that everything we believe just is not so? Is it possible that 5 mega corporations control the media in America? And of course, that's covered in a book called The New Media Monopoly by Professor Ben Bekdakian. Is it possible that Building 7 came down for a reason other than we've been told? If you'd like to see pictures of that, we actually have videos of that event. Looks just like those hotels that come down in Las Vegas. How could that possibly have happened? How could such terrible, terrible things happen in America? Well, maybe this is God's judgment descending upon our nation. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision, and for our protection. And until we're together again, may the Lord be with you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the central coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have this on the line, our good friend Bill Sardi, who does help Radio Liberty bring our programs to you all across America. But Bill is a health journalist, and Bill does great research, and I'll have to admit I've learned a lot about him, a lot from him, because of the research that he does. He's written a number of books, has great articles up on his website. But, well, tonight we're going to be talking about, what are we going to be talking about, Bill?
Well, it never ends. False data appearing in the most prestigious medical journal in Europe. And then we're talking about, those water pills, those diuretics that people use. Well, we use them for heart failure. They might be causing heart failure. It's all part of the story this evening, along with other updates on resveratrol and so on.
All right, fine. Well, you pick up the story there, and we'll just sort of listen. And, and of course, I got the material you sent me on what's happened with this article published over in Europe. Totally fraudulent. But why should we be surprised that scientists would print lies? Because, after all, you have to publish or perish, and so you put things in. Doesn't matter whether they're true or not. If there are no absolutes, if there is no God, why shouldn't you falsify your information? Makes you look good, and maybe nobody will find it for 5 or 10 or 20 years, and you'll get your promotions, you'll get the accolades, you'll be asked to give speeches, you may even get commissions from large drug companies because you're so clever. If there is no God, if there is no right and wrong, why should we worry about truth? And apparently, that is happening increasingly within science today, isn't it? In fact, we recently had this episode over in Korea where this Korean scientist was talking about all this cloning and creating these stem cells, and it was all a lie. And even it was some of our most prestigious magazines here in the United States were publishing those lies. But, you know, if we can't trust scientists, who can we trust? And if there is no God, why shouldn't they lie?
Well, it's been said that you can't have a law for everything, and that's why God is here, so that we'd have a conscience to do the things right, knowing someone was watching over us. And certainly man is lost without a compass and a higher authority, and we see more example of it here. I can hardly keep up for your audience anymore, Dr. Stan. I am having to interrupt my day to restart whatever I was thinking about, because there's some sudden breaking story that, of course, has to do with some scandal. And in this case, it's all about pseudoscience, or, well, pseudoscience. There was no science. And that's exactly what the publishers of The Lancet, this is the most prestigious medical journal on the European continent, out of Britain, the editors there said that this is the worst thing that could ever happen to their publication. What would make them say that? False data. Okay, there have been errors in the past. They've been corrected. What do they mean? What they're trying to say is all of it was fabricated. They're talking about a cancer study published in October 2005. It was not manipulation of real data. It was just a complete fabrication. In other words, there weren't even any patients.
Hold that. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Bill Sardi, and he's talking about this this cancer study that was published in Lancet, and it was all made up. It was all fraudulent. And Lancet, this prestigious British medical journal, certainly one of the three or four medical journals that everybody refers to, I mean, New England Journal of Medicine, the JAMA, the British Journal of American Medical Association, Lancet, the British Medical Journal. I mean, these are the ones that certainly are most widely read throughout the world. And here's a scientist submitting this paper, apparently a very well-regarded scientist, and it was all a lie. So pick up the story there.
Well, certainly we have to think how much more pseudoscience is there, and we've talked about these manipulations. Pseudoscience simply means they're creating or manipulating some of the science. We talked about this last time, where we saw a little supplement called arginine. Now you find arginine is an amino acid very rich in chocolates and nuts and so on. And, of course, the doctors were saying that arginine for use after a heart attack. And you saw these worldwide headlines, don't reach for arginine tablets if you have a heart attack. Well, I doubt if anybody having a heart attack would be thinking about it. Why were they heralding this kind of a headline? Well, of course, arginine was starting to gain in the medical literature with great credibility, and they had given it to patients after they had done four-way bypass surgery in the hospital, and their hearts were automatically converting back to a normal rhythm without them having to do the electric charges of the cardiac defibrillation. So they were finding it had tremendous value for cardiac patients, and all of a sudden this one study came up. And, of course, they never pointed out that there were all these other medicines in the study, and they were complicating arginine, whether it would work or not, and so on. So they didn't point that out. They just fingered the arginine that was used in the study as causing excess deaths. And, well, we wonder if they didn't let those patients die just to prove a point. But here we have, of course, this outright fabrication. So this has just shocked this journal, which is considered one of the best in the world. And of course, they have peer review. They screen all these things and so on. So they didn't identify the name of the researcher yet. That'll all come out. The researcher's from Norway. The study was on oral cancer. It was in the October 2005 issue of The Lancet. Now, The Lancet publishes
Hold that thought right there, Bill. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bill Sardi, and he's simply talking about fraudulent material from Norway published in Lancet magazine. And it wasn't simply a misinterpretation of figures and details. There was no study. It was all fabricated. It was all made up. And, of course, this is the difficulty we get into. When we have people opposing as scientists who have no moral foundation, we saw this, you know, with the Vioxx scandal, when the Merck company knew very well that their product was going to kill people, and they did not tell the doctors, and they withheld information from the FDA, and somewhere between 80,000 and 160,000 Americans either had a heart attack or a stroke, and many of them died. And of course, Merck is doing everything they can to just to defuse that situation, but this is not unusual at all. We've seen all sorts of phony studies as far as the statin drugs are concerned, and you're told if you don't take the statin drugs, you're going to die. Well, I can tell you, if you take the statin drugs, you're going to die, because we're all going to die. But if you look and see the actual figures on that, 3% of people who, you know, have had a previous heart attack, if you take the statin drugs, it certainly will do better. But the other 97% will not, but they don't tell the American people. And they can take that 3% and they can suddenly make it a 50% or 40% improvement in longevity simply by juggling the figures and the way it's presented. You know, and they have made $25 billion a year on the statin drugs, based entirely on a faulty science designed not to help people, but to make massive profits. Pick up the story there.
Well, and the same occurred with tamoxifen, the drug they use after they've done all the treatment for breast cancer and so on. And all of these somehow get to the news media, a great fanfare is made over them, and then really when you examine the medical literature, it's not that big a story, and so we're a little concerned about these things. But, you know, we're dealing with life and death issues. Sometimes these things aren't just an allergy or a study in a journal. They have to do with the people that are just clinging to life, and that's the case this evening as we see two shocking stories, both having to do with diuretics, the little water pills that they give us frequently for hypertension and for heart failure. Quite a few million Americans take them. Thus, you're familiar with Lasix, probably the most common one. Hydrochlorothiazide, that might be a long name for a generic one that's used, or thiazide diuretics. And, of course, they're finding that, well, two stories tonight. And, of course, one is that 20-30% of the patients who are on these diuretics, and this is an old headline, just repeated over and over, still do not get their minerals balanced. Now, as the water goes out through urination in your body, that'll regulate your blood pressure and possibly prevent a stroke. But you're creating a total dependence on the drug because you're washing away the electrolyte minerals, the ones the heart needs to fire, to set up a charge to fire in the heart for the heart muscle. And those are sodium and potassium and magnesium. And so those are the ones we need, and of course they're washed out, so you're being depleted and having to replete those, put them back in, replace them, and they're showing they still haven't been able to figure out how to do this. We can go right through the literature every so often. They're pointing this over and over again, and so we wonder if a lot of these patients who have side effects or succumb to heart disease and so on, if they have a sudden heart attack, it isn't because of the water pill that they're put on. And of course tonight it's another major headline as they're looking at all this and wondering about this. The diuretic drugs, I think they had about 32% had problems with sodium and potassium, and they never look at magnesium, which is a very important mineral in here because it's needed to relax the heart muscle. So this is kind of what's going on. But at the same time, they're pointing out that thiamine deficiency, this is vitamin B1, is caused by diuretics. Now, thiamine, that creates a disease, if it's a deficiency, called beriberi. And, of course, doctors have been trained, I'm sure you were, Dr. Stan, to think of, the severe patient, the one who's an alcoholic or malnourished, are the only ones that are really deficient in vitamin B1. Now we're finding it's a large number of people, especially those with heart failure. And, of course, what is a vitamin B1 deficiency induced but heart failure? And why do we lose vitamin B1 and become deficient? Because we're taking those water pills like Lasix. Now, all they have to do is put that vitamin B1 in with the Lasix every time. We have a tremendous upsurge, unexplained, in heart failure, just rising and rising in its prevalence from 30-50% of the older population here. It's amazing that how many people, it's about 5 million Americans now, when it used to be about 1 million. So it's risen considerably. And this is terrible what's going on because they have no explanation for it. But no one's searching for it. And then all this time, the first-line treatment is to give a diuretic and no replacement of thiamine B1, which is what it washes out. So what we're seeing here is, one study that was done in 2003, about 16.5% of the hospitalized patients died, and about 50% of them had to be readmitted. Well, that's from the headline today that about 30% of the hospitalized patients for heart failure are deficient in B1. Now, you'd think the protocols would call for vitamin B1 for all patients. No, the protocol calls for diuretics for all patients, and somehow they always overlook the vitamins. Now, it seems to me that the hospitals, somebody had to